it at home, it's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Booga booga, i.e. poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 68 of Three in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, April 5th, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about losses, stars, getting healthy, and bandwagoners. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey, hey.
How was you guys? Is Easter?
Busy.
Busy?
Very.
Yeah. I know you're working at church.
Lots of church services for audio
and
tech. So I feel very kind of holy but dirty at the same time.
Really?
Okay.
And Jive.
Yeah.
How was your Easter, Jive?
It wasn't too bad. Enjoy some time with some family.
Did the kids go out for looking for eggs?
We did some Easter egg hunting. My oldest son last night, apparently the Easter Bunny is more exciting than Santa. He was up at like 1 o'clock in the morning guiding his younger brother down the hallway to come and see if the Easter Bunny had arrived.
Partner in crime.
We said, why? So, yeah. But, so we had fun, though.
That's good.
Yeah, what'd you do, Aaron?
I went and had some ham, turkey.
Yeah, that's some ham.
Meat products. Yeah.
Meat's always good.
Yes, it is.
Any potatoes?
Yeah, had some potatoes. Drove by Blamebrook twice, and I wanted to stop and play pinball both times, but I resisted the urge.
Denied.
Yeah.
Twice.
They were open, though. So
I see.
I could have.
Yeah.
I don't think my family would have appreciated that, so I went with the good son move, and I just went for dinner there.
So
the good son move. Now, the good son, if I remember right, he wasn't very good, was he?
That was Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably better than Problem Child, right?
I don't know, man. Problem Child, he was just kind of mischievous.
No, he was a dickhead.
Well, he was, but he didn't kill anybody.
Well, when he was a kid, he probably got older and was a serial killer, though.
Well, didn't he hang out with a serial killer? Or no, just the convict.
It's been so long since I've seen that movie. I probably shouldn't have even brought it up, but anyway.
Should have just married an axe murderer.
Oh, no.
Boy. Well, I think that brings us.
Jeepers creepers.
Boy. Boyhood. Oh, jeez.
Boys in the hood?
Boys in the hood.
That's awfully big of you.
Was that Tales from the Hood?
No, don't drink your juice while you're... I can't even remember how that one goes now. Don't drink your juice while you're sipping something in the hood. I can't remember exactly, but yeah.
Well, I think we've already derailed pretty early on here, so let's get into wild talk here. Yeah, and this past week, it's felt like the All-Star break, as the Wild had 4 days off. Actually kind of felt like when we had a game on Thursday, it kind of felt like the same feeling after coming out of the lockout. You know, it was like, oh, there's hockey still going on?
Well, that was kind of like the first part of the season, though, too, where it was like 2 games and 4 games off.
Yeah, I mean, this has been just, that was a weird, this is a weird break for so late, considering how many back-to-backs we've had. And they came out of the fake break and lost 2 in a row for the first time. Fake break, that's what I'm calling it.
I like it.
Is that like a semi-truck Jake braking with the engine? But I don't know.
No. I thought that's called air braking.
No, that's Jake braking.
Jake braking.
Or engine idling.
Jake brake.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Your engine braking, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's that. I think braking. That's the proper term for
yeah,
it.
Engine braking. Wow, okay. but they lost the first 2 in a row since first time since January. They won they lost one in regulation against the Rangers and then one in the shootout against the Wings. Despite, you know, an amazing shootout shot and goal by Vanek, his little dingle-dangle around the world.
Around the world.
And then a brilliant poke check by Dubes.
Yeah.
You know, the only saving grace from the two games is that, you know, they were both one-point losses, so at least have that streak still intact.
Yeah.
And, you know, in both games, the Wild were competitive. I think the first period of the Rangers game didn't look very good at all, but, you know, second two periods, they looked good. And honestly, the whole Detroit game,
there were still some bad penalties, or some bad, like, very avoidable penalties by the Wild during the Rangers game.
Right. I mean, there's a couple high stickings that were, like,
delay a game.
Yeah, delay a game as well. I mean, it was some sloppiness there, which is probably at least partially attributed to the four-day break. Yeah, but still, they were in the games. I felt they had a very strong chance to win both games. So
yeah, they're in it. I mean, in neither of those games was it down to the third period, and we're, you know, already packing it in, saying we're done.
No, it's obviously you can tell that by the Detroit game because it went into overtime.
Right.
But if they had a few things go their way during the game, it would have been a very different, you know, end.
Could have been a different outcome.
Yeah, it just things didn't work out. Yeah. But, you know, notable over the two-game span were a spate of terrible reffing, both by Dan O'Halloran and Brad Meyer.
Once again, named by name. That's,
right.
That's bad.
And I didn't have to look it up. So that's a really scary part. O'Halloran, you know, he officiated the game with the Rangers, and that was marred by a couple bad calls.
The
and
linesmen were horrible that game.
That was the crazy thing. The linesmen just icing calls and non-icing calls. All the calls went against the Wild. It got so bad that the crowd was
basically Bronx cheering them.
Right. You know, when they got it right. It was really bad. And usually I'm on the side of linesmen. A lot of people give them crap about missing and offsides, but, you know, on those really quick plays, 9 times, I'd say even, you know, 24 out of 25 times, they get it right.
The linesmen are usually pretty spot on.
Those icing calls were absolutely terrible, though. And then the Meyer game last night, you know, he had several instances where Wild players' sticks were being slashed and broken. Absolutely no calls. Obviously, the Wild had a ton of power play chances, including even a 5-on-3 that they didn't score on.
Well, that's the Wild. They're carrying those new breakaway model sticks.
You know? Right, yeah. Right.
They're just
so you don't jam your hand, right?
So you don't jam your hand, and I mean it's also kind of a stunt stick too, you know.
So like jousting, how they're supposed to break away when the two horse people jam at each other.
Horse people.
The knights.
Yeah.
Where did you hear they're supposed to break away there, though? They're supposed to knock the other guy off the
horse. So you're saying
No. They're meant to break away on the tip so it doesn't cause permanent injury. Because knocking them off is like a bonus, but it's who gets the hit is what really counts. So the sticks, upon impact, are actually supposed to break. And you still get the points for it.
Okay.
So you're basically saying that hockey is like the Renaissance Festival on ice.
Renaissance Festival on ice. It kind of depends who's officiating.
Well, I guess.
Renfest on ice. I could see it now.
Oh, who's puke and snot or whatever?
Well, a couple of zombies because one of them's dead.
Well, didn't they replace one of them? Like,
yeah, I haven't been down to the Renaissance Festival in years.
I haven't had a hankering for a large turkey leg lately.
That you can never finish the whole thing of. You get hornets chasing you.
Well, anyway, aside from all that, you know, the games, last two games were pretty poorly officiated. Is there any, what can the league do about this? And are we just bellyaching after a couple tough losses?
Honestly, I think the game against the Rangers, I mean, yeah, we can down on O'Halloran, but I don't think his missed or blown calls were out of proportion with any other ref. I think it's just the fact that we know him by name and number. It just seemed bad. I would say that one I would put more on the linesman than actually on his. His officiating actually seemed decent for what we're used to seeing, I guess, from what I saw.
I know he had one bad call at least.
But, I mean, you know, you're going to get one bad call a game. It's almost guaranteed that
you're not going to. It always comes against the Wild, though. What the hell's up with that? It's always against the Wild.
Well,
it's rare where I'm going, oh, well, we got away with that one. We deserved a penalty, you know.
And I guess what I hope is that, yeah, like, the calls that are made are reviewed later on. I hope a ref's job doesn't end when the buzzer blows on the ice. I hope they have to go back and review what they've called and, you know.
Assess
how well they did.
I would presume that there has to be some review process because obviously they handpicked the officials for playoff games.
Yeah. And the other thing, though, is the icing. I mean, with the new no-touch rules,
the hybrid
that they brought in.
Yep, yep.
I think that then it ends up leaving a lot to the discretion of the referees. And, I mean, you're leaving it up to human discretion, and there's going to be differences in opinions. And these guys are making a call, you know, right then. Not that I'm agreeing with the calls that were made. I mean, I saw one. I can't remember who was skating back. I think it was Brodin, maybe.
Suter had a couple.
Skating back on an ice. This was just last night at the Red Wings game. Skating back in pretty much full stride, and the puck was just about across the red line, and he stands up. And just because he stands up, icing got waved off. There was no chance in hell that he was going to get to that puck before it crossed the line.
Well, he should have, but you know, skated full steam right into the boards and ate it, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it leaves it up to discretion. I'm almost to the point that maybe just go ahead and go back to the old way. And whoever gets to the puck first, if the puck gets shot all the way the length of the ice, if the defensive team's zone touches the puck first, it's an icing. I mean, it was a simple call then. It either is or it isn't, right?
Right.
Well, Russo had stated, I mean, the game against the Rangers where the linesmen were much more so not proper. There was a lot of jive between Suter especially and some of the officials and or the linesmen about some of the bad calls. And basically, Suter, rather than doing the courteous thing that most guys do of getting the pucks for the linesmen and tossing it to them, or at least shooting it their way to their skates or, you know, what have you, was just basically leaving the puck at the end of the boards and making them skate down and get it because he was getting sick of their crap. Which, you know, as Russo put, those linesmen had some long memories when it came to that, like, that last call with the empty net where Suter had obviously beat out, I don't remember who it was for the Rangers, touched up the puck before they did, and there was still no icing call on that play.
Right.
So, it's one of those things, I mean, you know, the linesmen and the referees are human. You piss them off, they're gonna maybe look the other way on a few things.
But that's...
they shouldn't be because they're officials. They're supposed to be...
They're professionals.
They're supposed to be indifferent of what's going on the ice and officiate the game, not take sides or play favorites.
Right. Or get mad because, you know, one of them doesn't like you.
The problem is though, that, you know, just like what I was saying before with the linesmen and the icing calls, is they're humans. I mean, they've got emotion wrapped up inside of them.
They should be robots, damn it.
Right.
Well, I mean, I want robot officials on the ice.
How many times did Koivu get kicked out that game of the face-off dot? Yeah. Quite a few. I mean, you know, obviously there's something going on with the linesman, and I don't know, maybe Bettman paid him off.
So you might be onto something here. If Google can automate a car and make it drive itself, don't you think that we could automate a ref?
Yes.
Man.
That'd be great. It'd be huge. Just imagine a Geo Metro skating around on ice.
wasn't there a commercial with like trucks or cars on the ice a few years back where there was skating back and forth or kind of skating back and forth? Like Toyota or Ford.
Oh,
or
this
something
is sounding
like
really familiar.
Yeah. Actually. Where they were like playing hockey with like full size trucks or something like that, or goalie got out and showed all the room for him and his pads and all the room and what have you, something.
Sounds like a Dodge Ram commercial or something. Then maybe
sounds like a really crappy commercial. Is what it sounds like. Hey, hockey fans are stupid. Let's just put a car on the ice and have them put pads in the back.
So
hockey fans are special.
If Google was to take up this challenge, hypothetically speaking, and make automated officials, would the NHL get back on ESPN?
Well, I don't know how they're paired together like that, but...
Well, because all of a sudden, you know, Google could put NHL at the top of every search. And you know, they're king of advertising. They could make it prominent and actually, you know, have it played instead of Bass Pro Fishing...
I would really wonder what the robot refs would look like.
Why do you want to be on ESPN anyways?
Oh, I just want to get, you know, NHL higher up than, you know, women's golf.
When's the last time you watched ESPN?
By force or by option?
When's the last time you watched NBC Sports without it being hockey? I'm not watching college weightlifting.
Nope.
Or you know, motocross in India or whatever.
Nope.
No. I do watch Big Ten Network though.
For the hockey though.
For the hockey and the women's college volleyball. My second favorite sport.
My second favorite sport.
You know, if there's no hockey on, you know, women's college volleyball is like a close second. For favorite to watch.
You are one pathetic loser.
But I seriously do. If we have robot officials, I wonder what they look like. I don't know if you guys have seen like the videos online of like the Boston Dynamics robots. Like their creepy like thing.
That's the thing. They don't even have to be on ice. They don't even have to get in the way anymore. We've got drones. Wow, man.
Or we wouldn't have to even go full automated. Just have Toronto officiate everything.
Right. Yeah.
That way the Maple Leafs might actually have a chance.
Command Central.
Oh, or, you know, so when a puck doesn't go into the net, they can just drop the puck right away and still count it as a goal.
Oh, can you imagine the drone doing the puck drop?
Oh, that'd be sick.
That'd be awesome.
It would be. If they have like a little net, it'd be kind of like when they have like the blimps that fly around in the stadiums, dropping T-shirts.
Nice. What if they
or you could just feed the puck in from the side like it's a foosball table.
I was thinking some way of shooting it up from the ice, kind of like bubble hockey style.
There we go. See?
I'd be down for any of those. That sounds great. Have it shoot up like, but like 20 feet in the air, so it'd be like a jump puck almost.
Oh, dude! Oh, yeah.
Sticks flying akimbo up in the air.
Bettman, get in contact with us. We've got some great ideas for bringing hockey into the 21st century.
We'll be your guys. We'll be your think tank.
Yep.
Well, speaking of the NHL as a whole, Dubnyk, you know, despite the two losses, we got more accolades. He was named number one star of the league for the past week. Number three star of the month for March, despite having a lower goals against average and more wins than the number one star, the Hamburglar. And he also became the nominee for Masterton Trophy by the Minneapolis contingent of the Pro Hockey Writers Association. I don't know how many members of that there are. I mean, I'm assuming Russo is one of them, but... probably Chris Long or
Youngblood or
Blunt or yeah, one of those. They're probably all in there. It's probably a pretty small group, though, I'd imagine.
And who's the guy who writes hockey for City Pages?
Wow.
Sorry.
Slamming City Pages here.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Or is it The Pulse? Vibe?
Vitamin?
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
They're too busy covering hipsters, I think, so...
You know, have you seen Kemper's haircut? Isn't it Kemper?
Hockey is a hipster sport.
Oh, Scandella.
Scandella. And send Kemper there.
Right, right. Got the hipster haircut. That's right. Anyway, Dubnyk is now tied with Kemper in fifth place with 26 career wins for the Wild. So fifth most wins of the Wild goalies of all time.
And he hasn't even been with us.
Full season.
Full season, right.
He's already fifth. You know, next year likely will be a, you know, provided things work out like we think they will, it would be a Dubnyk-Kemper tandem in the Nets.
Yeah.
You know, will either of those guys hit 100 goals or 100 wins with the Wild? And if so, who would do it first?
I honestly see good chemistry with Dubnyk here. I mean, obviously it's easy to, you know, jump on a guy's bandwagon when he's doing as well as he's doing. But that said, I think that he's earning a lot of respect of a lot of the fans right now. And should he stumble or struggle across a stretch, I think that we still see like the high end potential with the guy.
Right.
And I think that as fair weather as Minnesota fans are, I think we'll stick with that.
Right.
And so that said, I mean, at this point, I honestly see Dubnyk sticking around for a while.
Will he get to 100 wins in a Wild sweater?
I think that he will. And definitely if he continues on, I mean, he could do that within, you know, three more seasons. If he signs on a three-year contract with the Wild here after the year's out, I don't see why not.
Right. Well, and if you look at the number one and number two for the Wild are the only two guys with 100 wins, and that would be Backstrom with 194 wins. It's doubtful at this point that he'll even get to 200 wins in a Wild sweater.
Yeah.
and Manny Fernandez would be the other with 113. You know, you got to figure. I almost feel it's going to kind of play out kind of like Backstrom and Harding did, where Harding's going to be pushing the older guy, Dubnyk. You know, Kemper is going to be pushing Dubnyk, but I think Dubs, being the player that he is basically going to play first fiddle.
So, yeah, looking at those numbers, and Aaron, with what you just said, I'm gonna go with Dubnyk being, out of those two, the next Wild player to hit 100 wins. Honestly, I don't foresee Kemper being around past next season after his contract is up. Unless something drastically changes next year, I see him maybe going up as possible trade bait to get another possible goalie. My opinion. I could see Kemper sticking around longer, especially like in a number one role, and then maybe going after some different talent.
Yeah, and I think unless Kemper's got playing time, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of demand for him. So I really think he's going to end up being the Josh Harding kind of second fiddle guy. Hopefully it ends a little bit better for him than it has Harding. But, you know, I guess we'll see in that regards. But, yeah, so.
And speaking of
what happened
with Harding.
We're not discussing his broken foot anymore.
Nope.
But we can say that Koivu was a late scratch in the game against the
Red Wings yesterday,
just last night. But, I mean, despite that, we've got...
we had, Carter, Brodziak, Prosser, they've all come back here.
Yes.
You know, real recently.
And then, I mean, we've got talks of Cook and even Zucker coming back here soon. So,
well, hopefully, I mean, Zucker's supposed to be back before the end of the regular season.
Yeah, they're saying now that he'll be back before the end of the regular season. So
Right.
So, with that said,
you know, Zucker was on pace for just a killer season before he went out. What does it mean to the Wild and their playoff run to possibly have him back?
It's a bigger question of where he's going to, how much time is he going to actually have to be playing? I think our top six is basically cement.
He's going to have a tough time getting into that, barring any injuries. I just don't see him making much of an impact. I mean, I think it's good for the team to have him back, but four games, you know, even if he was coming back tomorrow's game, which I don't think is going to happen, he doesn't have much time to make an impact, and he's going to have a tough time getting ice time. Unless the Wild can lock up a spot and know who their opponent is and want to take a day off and let guys get healthy, but they just had 4 days off, so I have a tough time seeing him really make much of any impact, to be honest.
I don't know. I think I see it, Zucker returning. I mean, if we need some speed against a team, I think that he would be a definite bonus there.
That's what I'm thinking. It is the whole speed. If we're looking for some additional wheels on the ice, I mean, so, pair him up with Halla.
Yeah.
Put him on the PK.
And that's kind of how I feel about all those, the bottom lines, is that it's going to be kind of a rotational type. Who do we need today?
Right.
You know, depending on who we face in the first round of the playoffs, there could be a different lineup.
Well, the one change I would maybe say is that, or one thing, sticking point, would be that it seems, at least the way things have been going, is that Halla might be in Yo's doghouse. And if that's the case,
well, then he'd be on,
it wouldn't be the first time
he'd
this
be
year.
On Koivu's left wing, wouldn't he?
right.
which we should probably change that because that's not so much the case anymore.
Well, but the thing is that you know, if Hall is in the doghouse, that means that Zucker would be the most likely person to take his spot. The problem is he's going to be fighting for ice time with Cook, you know, and. I just don't know where he really slots in. I mean, there's so much talent, and Yo's going to have some really tough choices to make here as we get down this little last four games here.
But it is a good problem to have. So, I mean, dare we say then, though, that the Wild are gaining depth? I mean, the Wild have a lot of people that have contributed to their success this year who will be, you know, or hopefully soon be joining the team here, you know, coming back off of their injuries.
Right.
One of those people being Matt Cook, a seasoned veteran. He's an older guy, but, you know.
He's got playoff experience, though.
So. Yeah. So.
Yeah, where he takes out opposing defensemen with an illegal knee.
Right.
Supposed. I still don't believe the NHL's ruling on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you guys see a role for Cook here coming into the playoffs?
Grit.
We need body. We need a big body.
We need grit, and Cook definitely has grit. You know, Cook also has a very good bench and locker room personality, too, to keep everybody motivated, which, with him being out, has helped with Stewart coming up because Stewart's got that same type of personality. You know, I think having two guys like that definitely would help. Just try to keep morale up a little bit. But I think Cook coming in, I mean, I think him and Stewart actually could make a nice tandem pair on a line where, I mean, you've got the guys that...
Well, it seems like Stewart's kind of cemented his spot with Koivu and Niederreiter. So I don't really see that they're going to be paired up, you know, not to interrupt you. But, you know, I think a bigger thing is that it's really going to come down to who we play in the first round.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we play the Blues... You know, I gotta think we're gonna need to go a little bit bigger, and yeah. Cook makes sense.
Need some.
Well, if we play Chicago, it'd be the same way, though.
I don't think so anymore. I really don't. I think. I think
you want to go more with speed.
I think we can beat them with speed. And I think we could do the same with the Predators. Predators. I mean, they're a little more physical, but I think if you put skilled speed guys on there, they're gonna get their butts beat. I'm not afraid of them. We might need an extra body if we're playing Anaheim too, you know. So I think depending on who our first round matchup ends up being, I think that's going to really kind of play Yo's hand for him.
Dictate what we need, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, but that's I think that Cook is definitely going to be a necessity on the lineup. Once you get to the playoffs, I'm thinking that he's going to be a mainstay in the lineup because somebody with his veteran experience and like you guys mentioned, I mean, his grit, and I mean, in the playoffs, you need the guys that are going to get to those dirty areas. They're going to, you know.
But he doesn't really. He'll crash the net, kind of.
Yeah, but
he's not like Parisi where he parks himself in front of a goalie.
Not in front of the net, but like no. you'll see him aggressively.
He'll dig it in the corners, though.
Yeah, pucks in the corners and
end boards like and
so, yeah.
See, I'm not sold on him being a set part of the playoffs. I mean, yeah. If we lose the first game or two of any round, and yeah. Cook's in there, I could see him being an interchangeable part. Well, honestly, I think he's more replaceable than Carter at this point.
Really?
That's the way I look at it, at least. And plus,
I've actually been pleasantly surprised with Carter's performance.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not that you had super high expectations for him coming in here, but I think that he's contributed very well to the team.
But then you
made a difference.
But then you also have guys that are, kind of like on the edges there, like Schrader, Bergenheim.
Bergenheim would be another.
Bergenheim was brought in because he has scored in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And
so we'll wait to bring him back up to the playoffs.
It might be that way. I mean, it's going to be very interesting. And I think, those scratches could come in on a game by game basis. And I don't think, anyone on the bottom two lines, they're probably, with the exception of maybe like Fontaine.
Yeah.
Fontaine and Brodziak are probably
they're
probably the two on the bottom six that are safe.
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone else is safe, really.
I don't even know that Fontaine would be safe.
I think he is at this point. I don't know why, but he's. I don't think he's a liability, and I think he's involved in enough scoring where he's valued in that regard.
You know, if you want to go save players, I would probably put Vanek in that camp also, because Vanek's been playing hot lately.
Oh, yeah, I suppose he would be bottom six.
Bottom six.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Which, ironically, the two guys that we kind of downed on a good chunk of the season, Brodziak and Vanek, towards the end of the season have really turned around and are looking like...
They've ramped up their game.
Absolutely, they have. They look like veteran players right now and make or playing how they're getting paid. Or playing their worth, I should say.
Right. Well, hell, then you got Coyle, too. I mean...
yeah.
Coyle's going to be tough to get out of there also. Yo's
going to have a real tough time because there's just too many bodies.
Yo. Which means Holla needs to stop pissing off the boss. And
Holla's going to be... I
could see him being on the chopping block towards the top.
I would be surprised at this point if Holla plays another game this year.
You know, well...
I mean, I disagree. I think Holla will...
The only way he plays again is if maybe we lose tomorrow's game or something like that. I think he's a scratch for tomorrow. I don't know if that's been announced, but it sounded like that was going to be the case.
Yeah.
You know, at this rate, is Holla going to be around next year?
I think he's going to be. I mean, he's cheap enough. I think he will. He's still a relatively young.
He's very young. So I wouldn't jump off of his bandwagon already. I mean, he's definitely had, a little bit of a down year this year, but I mean, I wouldn't say that he, we need to dish him off already.
So speaking of dishing off, I don't know how that even works. So with the current kind of winning streak and odds of making playoffs significantly going up since the All-Star break, Wild season ticket holders have been trying to add on additional seats. Newcomers are trying to get into guaranteed playoff tickets by becoming season ticket holders. The surge of seats being spoken for, the Wild box office has started talks about possibly a wait list for anybody who wants in on season tickets for this year or next. I think part of that also has to deal with the outdoor game, the stadium series next year too.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know, from other teams, there is something in there where that did not count as part of the season ticket package. I don't know if they get first dibs on those tickets.
I think they get first dibs. They get
kind of like playoffs.
Priority.
So, you know, with these people buying up all these tickets, I mean, how many of these people that are buying these tickets actually want to go to these games? Or is it a business for them?
Well, I'm sure a lot of it's business, but at the same point, we've discussed it before. This state is a state full of bandwagon fans. And I wouldn't, I know, at least speaking for myself, you know, if the Timberwolves went on a big run, I hate basketball. I'd still probably pay attention, though.
What about the Lynx?
Well, I will say that I've never paid attention to the Lynx, so okay. I will.
I mean, they've won more titles than...
This is true.
Than pretty much any other professional sports team in Minnesota.
Oh, man, women's college basketball, or women's basketball, but we're calling professional sport now.
Well, the thing is it's not...
It is a professional sport.
Yeah, it is, but the thing is, at least with the Lynx, is they don't have the television. So it's like, even if right. I wanted to pay attention to them, there's no really little opportunity to do that. The state is full of bandwagoners. I have no doubt that a lot of those people are like, you know, hell, I've thought about getting season tickets for next year. It doesn't make me a bandwagoner, but you know, it's like, there could be a lot of people that might have been on the fence going, you know, and let's be honest, if you get a full season, you can't make it to every game. You're going to be able to get your resale value on that.
Definitely.
So it's, you know, it could be people that just honestly want to go see games and, you know, they're winning. So why not want to see them when they're winning, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. So speaking of reselling, Aaron, scalping, you know, Minnesota allows scalping on any level, whether right. you're trying to sell them outside the stadium, whether you're selling them on Craigslist.
Or your name is Ticket King.
Exactly. So what's the likelihood of playoff tickets going for double, triple, even higher of face value? Which, I mean, you know, any resold ticket for a playoff is going to be high.
Well, you know, and the Wild changed things up this year by having the on-demand pricing where the tickets can change from day to day, kind of like an airline flight.
Well, Twins did the same thing .
And I think that's helped keep the scalping in check a little bit because... It's not, if you know, if the Wild get hotter, if there's a high demand game, they can boost up the price of the ticket a little bit. Will scalpers be able to get double, triple, or even higher face value? Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's going to be demand there. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
It happens with any bigger sporting events where the price of the event definitely goes up. I mean, even beyond sporting events, you get. Like even a show or something in town that's got a high demand for it. When there's a demand, people will pay the price. And I mean, it is what it is, because even if you make laws against it, or you know, say you know you can't sell for this price, people find ways around those things. And
okay, so Joe Schmo.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
You know, okay, so there's, I guess, two ways to look at this. Joe Schmo goes in, buys his tickets, realizes something else comes up. He's got to get rid of his tickets. Right?
Yeah.
Sells them. You can make a little couple extra bucks off of it. Great. Or you go on the other end where, as Jive had mentioned, that one company that basically buys a boatload of tickets and then just turns around and puts the price on them at, you know, way over cost of face value.
Right.
You know, is that just good business for them, or is it really just a slime ball move by somebody who found a way to kind of get around doing things?
Both?
I'm going to call it a slime ball move, but... Yeah, most companies are based on slime ball moves. Honestly.
Well, really, doesn't that just really put the really shouldn't the blame be on the Wild for not setting the price of the tickets, you know, in line with the market? I mean, if whatever company is reselling them at, you know, X dollars,
I don't think that's the fault of the Wild. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, they need to provide a ticket that's affordable for fans to pay. Yes, when the demand is up for a ticket, being that like there are no tickets left, then that's when these guys are, you know, raking you over the coals with their price hikes in the price of the ticket. So I think that, the, you know, the Wild are fair in setting a fair price for the for their tickets. It's basically taking advantage of people that are in a vulnerable situation, because it's the only way they can get tickets is because they've bought up this whole chunk of tickets for, you know,
face value.
Yeah, face value. And then they're going to charge all you other people who just weren't quick enough with your mouse click to, you know.
Well, isn't that just them exploiting the market? Which is what, you know.
It's a slime ball move.
Isn't that what thousands of businesses do in other industries?
It is.
All over the U.S.?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how they're really that different. I mean.
So, since we're being entrepreneurs here and inventors and coming up with all new sorts of ways to do things, automated refs and puck drops, how about this? How about a ticket queen site for, you know...
for Vikings tickets?
No, site... site for the little guy, you know, where we can go in and we can beat that other ticket selling site and get all those tickets before them. Then they've got no market.
Well, one of the things that has been brought up, and for sporting events and mainly for concerts, though, is doing, and I believe Garth Brooks was this way at Target Center, was you'd purchase your ticket online and you'd go in and basically show ID and the credit card that it was paid with or what have you.
I think the Red Sox did the same thing with their season tickets.
And essentially, basically, the Minnesota law has shot that down, though, saying that, well, when you purchase a ticket, it's yours to do whatever you want with. And it's the artists that are fighting against it, as well as nightclubs. First Ave, I know, was against it. One of the big people against it was Ticketmaster, because they were basically gouging people. They were kind of doing what the one company was doing, is buying up a bunch of them, reselling them with their... How many fees does Ticketmaster have now? Like 15?
The rape surcharge and the up-the-butt surcharge.
So basically take the face value...
Toilet bowl surcharge.
They only charge you face value for the ticket.
But they only charge you half on the toilet bowl at First Avenue because you only get half a door, stall door.
Right. Oh, yeah. You know, I guess they are only charging you face value on the ticket, but then they're adding on another 30% in fees. It's like, oh, well, $15 fee if you want to print it yourself, or $15 shipping to get your ticket. Like,
right.
Okay, so what's the point of either? But, I mean, so I guess my point is, I mean, is there any way to circumvent any of this and actually, like, get the true fans to the game and at the price that the Wild want to charge?
The technology is out there. But, I mean, basically there has to be a willingness, you know.
But so basically you're saying, though, that in order for me to go to a game, I need to have a credit card.
No.
I mean, because that's basically what you're doing at that point. If you need to have ID and a credit card.
Or the credit card that paid for it, or, I think is what they're looking at.
That means as a season ticket holder, I would never be able to resell my tickets. You know, I can't go to all 41 games.
And I think that, like, the NHL, and I know the NFL does too. I don't know about baseball, but
well, I mean, the Twins, you can get a ticket at any time that you want.
I heard you're out of luck for the season opener, though. And, you know,
one game that always sells out.
All it takes is a little bit of success, though, and things can change. But beyond that, I know the NHL, they promote their, you know, ticket exchange on NHL.com.
Yeah, it's going through Ticketmaster.
Right. So it ends up going back through there. And I don't know what other kind of fees end up getting tacked on there by transferring a ticket to somebody else there. But basically there, you know, the technology is there that it can be done in a fashion where you cut out that, you know, buy in bulk you know, ticket service that then in turn turns around and they want to rake people over the coals to make their profit, you know.
Oh, what's stopping them from setting up, you know, 100 dummy accounts under names
with 100 different credit cards
and buying tickets and then reselling them,
which is exactly what some of the places have been doing.
Right.
I mean, I guess it's kind of sickening to go, you know, I know when we've looked for tickets before, checking out StubHub. And obviously you can see it's the same people reselling the tickets, different places, because they're all set, like, a certain percentage over the face value of those tickets.
Right.
So, you know, they're doing it to make their money. But it's like, mm-hmm. I mean, do you really want to have to get playoff tickets by going through StubHub and basically dealing with somebody who's literally raping you over the price?
Well, I mean, but the way the system's set up is there's no reason they shouldn't be able to do that, though. You know? I mean, unless the Wild starts restricting with cards, you know, the Wild are complicit in allowing them to do that, and there's nothing illegal against it, you know? You can scalp tickets all you want.
Yeah.
You know?
But in the end, the person who it ends up hurting is the fans trying to go see the show. I mean, obviously they're finding somebody who's willing to pay the price.
You can make the same argument though with corporations who buy tickets, season tickets, and then never send someone to the game, or right. send someone like some staffer at their company who doesn't give two damns about hockey, yeah. and they sit there and chat all day about, you know, what happened at work, and they aren't even paying attention to the damn game.
You know, you just sent me a link to a product that would work great for that. We're not going to mention it on air, but.
Anyway,
I think
we've yeah.
So before putting the cart in front of the horse, the Wild still have four more games and still could potentially not make playoffs.
Oh yeah, but,
yeah. So coming up this week, it's an extremely tough way to end the season for the Wild. It starts off with back-to-back games against the Jets at home on Monday, then in Chicago on Tuesday. Jets are on the very, very edge of the outside looking in. I mean, you can't get any closer than that. Hawks are fighting for home ice. Then it's on to Nashville on Thursday and St. Louis on Saturday. Again, two teams looking for home ice advantage in the playoffs. So, yeah, with four games left, there's still no definite who the Wild will play or potentially play first round. If they win two of their last four, they're guaranteed the top wild card spot. If they win one of the four, they will get at least the bottom wild card spot.
Basically, they could lose all four of their last games and still make the playoffs.
Potentially, but that would also mean that Winnipeg would have to lose at least one game or lose out.
Right.
Or L.A.,
They're
same.
Right. I mean, well, they would have to lose out, but it would have to be Winnipeg can't win all their games or
something.
No, like
I think Winnipeg has to win all four to potentially get the last wild card spot. So, I mean, it's in the cards that they will get one or the other.
Right.
So, as it stands right now, the Wild would play the top seed in the Central, just with where they're currently at with the mm-hmm. top wild card spot. So, which could be St. Louis with 105 points, Nashville with 104, or Chicago with 102. I mean, it could go any three of those right now. Chicago and St. Louis still play each other one more game, so that could be a determining factor right there on who goes where. And sure. all three of these teams have three games left. Anaheim in the Pacific has 107 points with two games left, so, I mean, more than likely they're going to probably take top spot in the West. But who knows? I mean, they could lose out their last two, and St. Louis could end up topping them off.
Right. But,
so, anyways, with all these possibilities with a week left, who do you feel the Wild are going to be playing first round, and what's going to be the outcome of this series?
Well, you know, there's a right now the odds, according to sportsclubstats.com, right now the odds have the Wild at right around 40% for facing St. Louis. Right around 30 for Anaheim, right around 25 for Nashville, and a much slimmer 4% for Chicago. So I think we can kind of unless the stars align, we're probably not facing Chicago the first round.
More than likely not.
I think right now it's hard for me not to say it's going to be St. Louis. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for. If I'm having to choose between St. Louis and Anaheim, I'm going to pick St. Louis. But, you know, the more the Wild win, the more likely it's going to be Nashville, actually. So if the Wild aren't in a tailspin here the last four games, it's more likely it's going to be Nashville.
Well, and again, I mean, they could take 2 points from Nashville, St. Louis, and Chicago all.
Right. And that really doesn't change a whole lot, but it'll move things around, you know?
Yeah, I mean, them winning if they were to win out the rest of the games in the season, that would totally probably change the shape of the playoff picture. I mean, with all those teams so closely bunched together. But yeah, I mean, if I had to say who the Wild are going to end up playing, I'm going to guess actually that they're still going to end up playing the Predators here. Though I know they had been stumbling as of late, I think that the Wild will end up playing them in the first series, but I think that that's a positive thing for the Wild.
Well, that's the fans at Suter in Nashville.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
you know, Jive, but I think you're right, because I think Nashville actually has as far as if you're looking at ranked teams or the team rankings on who they have left to play, I think Nashville has the easiest schedule out of the three of those. So there is the possibility Nashville could regain their top spot over St. Louis and end up playing the Wild first round.
But if the Wild lose a few games here in the last four, it's looking like very solid Anaheim. So it could go Anaheim too, man.
They would have to lose out at least three games. They'd have to lose out three of the four, and then that's assuming that L.A. or Winnipeg wins out. Actually,
their chances of facing Anaheim doesn't drop below 30% unless they score 6 points.
So they'd have to win three out of four.
Right.
Or
only at that
two
point,
and two OT losses.
Right. Only at that point does the percentage of them facing Anaheim drop below 30. So they're going to have to win a lot to really take Anaheim out of that picture. Mm-hmm.
And
but that's owning, that's owning their own destiny, though, too.
Right. And really, whoever they face, unlike other years, like, you know, where we've gone, you know, into the playoffs and we've been like, well, hopefully we win a couple, or hopefully we make it to the next round and win a couple there.
Winning this round is like winning the Stanley Cup for us.
Right. We're not going for any moral victories here this year. Right. I think, you know,
it's cup or bust
this year. Yeah, we're talking real deal, and we're ready to make a run at it. And the way that the Wild are playing these last couple months, we've definitely proven that we can play with any of those top teams.
Right.
So any series that we do get matched up with, I see it, you know, going to a six or seven games, and, I mean, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. I'm always going to be hoping that it's the Wild, but, I mean, so I'm going to be a little bit biased on my opinions there, but I definitely think that they will at least go to six or seven games in any of the series.
I can see six, because I whether it's St. Louis or Nashville, I see the Wild taking the first road game.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna go back in, like, you know, after, well, I mean, again, I guess we'll kind of see how that ends up playing out this week, because we are playing both of those teams on the road this week in regular season.
Right. So, game of the week?
Sounds good.
So last week's game of the week was Rangers at Wild. For things are changed up a little this week as Jive went with the Rangers, or Kenny and I went with the Wild. The Rangers obviously won, so Jive gets another point.
Actually, woo-hoo! The only people that really won that game were the linesmen.
Right. Well, that means Jive pushes a point closer to you and a point further away from me. I am lowly with 8 points. Jive's got 15. Kenny, you got 16.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Yeah, and because I'm the pathetic loser, I get to choose the game of the week this week.
Aaron, you're closer to the guest score than my score.
Shut up. Anyway, so this week I'm picking the Wilder Blues, last game of the season. You know, it's going to be an important game. It's going to really count what the effect is of our playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So we'll go with Jive. Who are you picking?
I'm going to have to go with the Wild taking this one. This is going to be the last game of the season. I think that by then, it's going to be decided who's going to be the top of the division.
Sure.
That's what I'm hedging my bets on here. So I think that, you know, the Blues might not have as much to play for as the Wild do there. So I'm going to go ahead and say that the Wild are going to win this one. It's going to be a close scoring game still, in similar Dubnyk fashion. I'm going to go with the Wild winning with a total of 4 goals.
Okay. I will counter that.
You're going to counter that?
I'm going to say that the Wild are going to lose to the Blues. But
wasn't a Blues horn, sorry.
Even though I'm obligated to pick the opposite of what you two pick so I can try to gain points.
How do you know what I picked? I didn't tell you yet.
I'm channeling my inner Karnak. with that, I'm hoping that this will lead to us losing to the Blues in the final game of the season and then matching up against them in the playoffs and then sweeping them 4 games.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to say. So I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Blues winning. I'm going to pick 5 goals because that's an easy goal to pick. Hopefully the Wild win, but well, you know, I got to pick the Blues just out of. I'm trying to gain points here.
Just saying that gave me a semi.
So Kenny, now that I've blown your lead here, who are you picking for the win here?
I'm picking the Gophers to win the NCAA championship. Oh wait, is that one done already? No, I'm going with the Wild. I think it's going to be a close game. I'm going to go with like a 5-goal total, but it'll be tight. It's going to be close, and I think Aaron, I think you're right. I think it's going to be a precursor to the playoffs of who we might see first round.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, we could have back-to-back games in St. Louis. Back-to-back-to-back games in St. Louis.
Right. So, I mean, that might actually work for the Wild because they could actually just
hang out and get comfortable.
Well, they could go rent some apartments, you know.
Right.
Get real comfortable.
Have you been to St. Louis?
Yes. They actually have the Silver Ballroom, a great pinball punk rock hall in St. Louis that is wonderful, actually. Great jukebox, great beer, great pinball.
So, Wild PR if your guys are looking for something to do.
Right. You want to bring us along, you know, we'll gladly come along.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
You know a lot of good barbecue spots down there, too, don't you?
Yeah, I think, I don't remember what the names are, but I know someone I could ask, and they'd point me in the right direction. So, I think that's the show for us.
Yeah, I think we've about beat the horse dead.
Yep. So, you know, when
Pete is after us.
When I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter, that's at Aaron3ITB, where I tweet about beer, hockey, music, pinball, stuff like that. Kenny.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999. You know, retweeting hockey, live audio, stuff like that. Some photos here and there.
Rocking. Jive.
All right. Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Or you can also follow me on Google Plus. I'm Jive Midnight there, too.
Yeah. Oh, you got Jive Midnight on G Plus, huh?
That's right.
Oh. They didn't kick you off yet?
No. They don't anymore.
Ah.
Wow. Nice. Well, I think that's the show.
Yeah.
See y'all later.
Hello!